I would like to welcome everyone very warmly in the precious name of the Lord, especially those who are here this evening for the first time. You will have noticed by now that we do not put greatest importance to the outward formality of a service, but on the inner process of a service, namely that we want to leave room for the Spirit of God, that He can really reveal Himself in our midst, yes, in our lives and in our hearts. A service without being ministered to us from God, ministered to us in such a way that we have been helped, that we have come closer to Him inwardly. Otherwise, it's not a service at all. A service is not what we can do. It is what God can do for us in the way He meets us in His Word and blesses us. We are all very grateful to the Lord for the revealed Word at this time. I had a serious endeavor this evening to translate a sermon of Brother Branham. We have been doing this quite often here lately, because I noticed a mix-up between the sermon and the wrapper it was in. I went home to get the right sermon, and the same thing has repeated itself. So we take all things as they come from the hand of the Lord. Recently, we have been looking at some things from the book of Revelation, and perhaps the one or the other will become a blessing to someone. That we are now living in the last time, there is certainly no doubt about it. That the Lord God is perfecting and preparing His own. Of that too, we have certainty. How long it will take, none of us knows. And God will not allow that to be determined, but it has already been determined since the foundation of the world, how all things will go on. And therefore, none of us needs to determine it anymore. But I would like to read a word of God from Romans, chapter 9. Romans, chapter 9, from verse 6.
Ich will damit aber nicht
not as though the word of God has taken none effect, for they are not all Israel, which are of Israel, neither, because they are the seed of Abraham, are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called.
Soll dir Nachkommenschaft genannt werden. Das will sagen,
that is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed.
Denn so lautet,
for this is the word of promise. At this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, But when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God, according to election, might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. Up to here, this precious and holy word of God. Not all those who, earthly speaking, are the seed of Abraham, are therefore already children of the promise. Not all who are Christians at this time, or call themselves such, are therefore already children of God, with the promise of God for this time. But only those who have been ordained by God to see His promise, which He gave ages ago, fulfilled today, and to believe it. All others will pass by what God is doing now. We are not ashamed to bear witness to the fact that we are convinced with all our heart and soul on the basis of the Word of God that we are now living in the last days and that the Lord God, according to His Word, has sent His servant and prophet in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the children of God back to the Word as it was revealed to the fathers. I know that we could all cultivate friendship with many so-called Christians and believers at this time, if we would refrain from talking about what God has done in this generation. I made a visit recently, and I was told, I believe Brother Branham is the prophet of God, but I keep friendship with everybody. That sounds very good for the moment. I believe on the one hand, and I keep friendship with all. And there were also some listed. I then just asked the humble question, have you ever spoken to this brother and that brother about the ministry of Brother Branham and about the end time message? And then, of course, I was told, no, I don't know how they would take it. Such friendship we can all have, and we can have it every day in every place, if we let what becomes an offense to the people fall under the table. But that is a friendship without God. It's a friendship at the expense of the Word of God. A friendship that will fall apart, because no one can travel on two tracks at the same time. And I've had to say, I too would have many friends around the world if I would leave out what God has revealed for this time. But I want to say here tonight that I have now made real friends, Friends who want to stand their ground before God, people who have received the word of promise for this time. These are not just friends who now hear anyone, but these are also friends of God. It is written of Abraham, he was called God's friend. He was not the friend of Lot or anyone else at that time. He was called the friend of God. Why? He believed the promise of the living God in his time. And if we believe the promise of God with all our heart and soul in this time, then we have a real friendship with God. And moreover, a real friendship with each other because of the promise of God for this time. All other friendships will fall apart sooner or later. But this friendship we can have is because of the promise of God. And the Holy Scripture says, the Lord Jesus speaks to his disciples, I no longer call you servants, for a servant has no understanding of his master's doings. I call you my friends. That is the secret. Abraham was called the friend of God. And what does Genesis 18 say? The Lord God visits Abraham and says, how can I keep secret from Abraham what I intend to do? The Lord God revealed to his friend Abraham what he was about to do at that time. Abraham believed God, and this was counted unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. The same thing was repeated with the seed of Abraham also in this time. The Lord has spoken to us, and we have spoken here in this place in the last time about the sign of the return of Jesus Christ. And we believe what Brother Branham has said repeatedly. The Church of the Lord is now seeing and experiencing the final sign before the return of Jesus Christ. By this, Brother Branham meant the sign of the Messiah, namely that which already happened before the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, that the Lord himself revealed the most secret thoughts of Sarah and told Abraham on the head what Sarah was thinking in her heart, and that she laughed at what the Lord had spoken. We saw the same thing in the ministry of Jesus at that time. He could say to Nathanael, before Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. And Nathanael cried out, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. Anyone to whom the Lord revealed himself in this way recognized him as the Messiah, as the Christ, as the Son of God. We could take many of such examples from the Holy Scriptures. But to make a long story short, the same thing has happened in our time. The same God, the same Lord, has revealed in manifold ways the thoughts of the hearts, has told people where they come from, what their names are, and who they are, what disease they have, and where they live. We have witnessed this often enough, who we have had the privilege of seeing, hearing, and being present at Brother Branham's meetings when it happened. For us who are believers, who have received and believed God's word of promise for this time, this was a sign that we cannot pass by, a sign that should tell us the return of Jesus Christ is at hand. But, as we have already explained here, the sign is not the thing itself, but points to what is to come and what is to happen. So, if we live in this time, in which, on the one hand, the sign happened here on earth, in the midst of the believers, namely, that the Spirit of God did the same thing that happened at the time of Abraham and at the time of Jesus Christ. So we know Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Any preacher can say that. But it was only proven in the ministry of Brother Branham. Let's be frank and honest with each other. We can all put our mouths full and say, Jesus Christ is the same. But then, Brother Branham says, if he is risen and is the same, then he must still be doing the same thing today. That was the challenge in Bombay, India, in 1954, when Brother Branham spoke before 17 leaders of the world religions. And when the blind man was present there, and Brother Branham challenged them and said, if the God you have spoken of is able and good, then let him open the eyes of this blind man. Of course, everything was dead and silent. But then Brother Branham said, if the Lord Jesus Christ has risen from the dead and is alive today, then he testifies of himself in the same way as he did when he walked the earth. And before the others could even think long, Brother Branham spoke to this blind man and said, you are from there and there. You are married. You have two children. You have been a sun worshipper for so and so many years, and you have been totally blind since then. If that's true, then raise your hand. And the hand went up, of course. And then came the challenge. If the Lord Jesus, whom I serve, gives sight to this blind man, will you forsake your idols and receive him as Savior? They were ready to do that. What they did later, I shall only see now, when I come to Bombay, to speak in the same Methodist church where Brother Branham spoke back then. I may still find traces of it, but this much is certain, that this man became seeing on the spot, and the people had to confess, God has done a miracle before their eyes. So it was not just the claim that Jesus was present, not just the assertion that he is the same, but the divine confirmation and legitimation, because he revealed himself to be the same. And we believe with all our hearts that he is the same to this day. We do not believe that he has changed with the departure of the apostles or prophets, nor with the passing of Brother Branham. On the contrary, we believe with all our heart that we are friends of God, and that we believe God's word of promise and receive the promise of God, and that the Lord will reveal himself to be the same. Back to the sign. We know that very often people are quick to confuse spiritual things when they do not have a real and firm biblical foundation under their feet of faith. What happened on the 28th of February, 1963, this appearance of the Lord in the cloud was not the return of Jesus Christ, because he will come again in the same way as he went up to heaven, and we will meet him in the cloud, in the air, and then we will be taken up with him. But this was merely a divine confirmation and legitimation that the things that are said do not come from a man, but that the Lord God bears witness that they are right and true. But who at this time believes the word revealed by God? Who has noticed the sign, and who has stopped to be told what was to be said by it? All of us, we know about the road signs when we are on the road, and we have to pay close attention to the signs. And when the sign says 1,000 meters to the exit from the motorway, we know exactly which way to go. And when these meters have passed, the exit is coming. But the sign is not the exit. Whoever wants to use the sign as the exit, he will be shipwrecked. He will fall. The sign only points us to what lies ahead. And we have to pay attention to that. I wish that all God's children who believe the end time message could eventually become sober and clear, so that they can classify things exactly and keep them apart, so that nothing wrong happens with what God has spoken and done in this time. But one thing is certain, that God has much patience with all of us. When we listen to Brother Branham's sermons, almost every sermon makes us think that it could be the last one. When he went to the platform, he thanked God that once more there is an opportunity to preach his word, to be prepared, and so forth. And when the sermon was over, he thanked God again that the opportunity was there. Now, some years have passed, and the word in the letter of Peter says, we should consider the long-suffering of God, that many more may come out, that they come to repentance. Not that we think God is delaying or postponing. But of course, the time is getting shorter and shorter, although none of us can say how much longer it will take. Some brother from Finland wrote, who had heard that we are building a new hall. He asked the question, for how long? And then there was the big question mark behind it. I can tell you exactly, to the year, month, and day. Believe it or not, I can tell you exactly how long this hall will serve us. Exactly. Believe it or not, exactly. Do you believe it? But most certainly, until the moment of the return of Jesus Christ, it couldn't be simpler for any of us. Only that we never think of fixing times or days. The Lord Jesus told his disciples, "It is not for you to know the time or the hour, but this much ye shall remember, that ye watch and pray, because ye know not when your Lord does return." And we are grateful to God with all our heart and soul for this time that we are still allowed to have. And we will do everything, day and night, if it is necessary, to bring the message of God to the people. And if anyone asks what the purpose is, let me be very clear. The purpose is to call God's elect and make them aware. Don't you think it would be easier for me, like all the other preachers, to visit here and there, to have tea there in the morning, coffee there in the afternoon, and then have a chat here and there, and a Bible study on Wednesday evening and on Sunday too, and then the month will soon be over? All this does not help any true servant of God. It's about redeeming the time, whether it's translations, whether in print or on tapes, whether it's radio broadcasts, whatever it is, whether it's meetings. We have to make every effort to inform the people of God of what God has done. Resting we will at the sea of glass, and then we will come to this earth with the Lord to celebrate the millennium with Him. We want to have redeemed the time in which we live with everything that has been available to us. We cannot be directed by people. One person thinks that way, the other this way. But God directs, and that is the wonderful thing. Man thinks, and God directs. And if our hearts are filled with bringing to God's people in this time what He has given us by grace, then He will have to give His blessing to it. Here it is written, not the earthly descendants of Abraham are children of promise, but those who have believed the word of promise. These are the children of Abraham. These are the children of God. Who is a true Christian today? The one who has received in faith the word revealed and appointed by Christ for this time. With whom did the Lord Jesus begin at Pentecost? He said to his disciples and to those who heard, "Wait in Jerusalem until the promise of my Father comes down to you." And all who believed this promise of God went to the upper room. And when the day of Pentecost came, there was a mighty rushing, and the Holy Spirit came down. When we read in 1 Corinthians 15, it is written that the Lord Jesus revealed himself to individuals and also to 500 brethren at once. This happened in the 40 days when the Lord Jesus was among his disciples, between the resurrection and the ascension. Where were these 500 brothers on the day of Pentecost? Those who believed wholeheartedly in the promise of the Lord, they gathered together, they were in one accord, and the heavens opened upon them, and the promise of God was fulfilled in their midst. The same is in this time. Perhaps here 500 and there 700 say that the Lord Jesus has revealed himself to them after his resurrection. And we don't want to rob anyone of that. That's not our nature at all. But where were the 500 when the day of Pentecost came? There are certainly enough people in this time who may have had more to show than many of us. But where are they today? Are they there today, where the promised word of God for this time is being fulfilled, where God confirms it, where he speaks to his own and reveals his will to them? Or where are they? That is the question today. The 500 could certainly have said to all the people, "Listen, we have experienced the Lord Jesus in a wonderful way. We have seen him after his resurrection. We have been here and there with him." Where were they on the day when the promised word of our God was confirmed and fulfilled in the midst of his people here on earth? That's the question. We denied to no one that the Lord Jesus spoke to him or her, that he revealed himself. There are hundreds of people, if not thousands, in this country and throughout Europe who can say, "I have experienced the Lord." But brothers and sisters, that alone will not be enough for us. What is needed at this time is to believe the promise and the word of promise with all our heart and with all our soul. Perhaps someone will say, "Do you have more than the others?" To this I can answer very kindly, we have just as much as everyone else, but God has the fullness, and he will pour it out, namely there where his people gather, because of the promise he has made for this time. And right there, the heavens will be open and the blessings of God will come down. Even before the crucifixion, many could have said, "We have experienced the Lord." One could have said, "I was lame. He has healed me. Look at me. Today I can hop and jump." Thousands could have said, "We were there when he took 5 loaves and the fish and broke, and it was not finished." But thousands were fed. Many could have testified in those days to what they experienced with Jesus. But then the way became more and more straight. The gate was narrow and the way straight. Only a few found him. Only a few kept pace with the revelation of Jesus Christ, even then, when the Lord Jesus addressed a speech to the people that they did not understand. Many left him and no longer followed him. Why? They had not understood him. Instead of following him, until the day would come when the understanding of the scriptures would be open to them. But there were others who took no offense. They followed the Lord, whether they understood or not. Blank spot. We speak the truth before the face of the living God, that it is the remnant among his people in this time who have heard, believed, and received the promise. To this remnant, the Lord will reveal himself mightily. We can already believe that today. It has always been like this. Even if we have to wait a little, that does not change the fact that God's face is set on his own who believe his word to fulfill it in their midst and in their lives. Abraham had two sons, one according to the flesh and the other according to the promise. Abraham, a man of faith, a man who knew what God had spoken would come to pass, and God became friends with Abraham. God must have been so pleased with this man who believed him at once. What about us at this time? When will God's well-pleasing rest on us? When we can believe God with all our heart and soul. When we are able to thank the Lord for the word of promise for this time. There are many who thank the Lord for salvation and crucify the Son of God anew, giving him up to shame and insult. Of course, they sing psalms. Did the Jews not sing psalms in those days? Did they not offer their sacrifices? Did they not mean to serve God? And the Lord Jesus quotes the word from the prophet and says, "In vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." What was it? All piously wrapped up without having experienced the power of God. What matters to us in this time is that we receive the promise of God, that we believe it and keep it in our hearts, and God himself will see to it. The prophet Daniel writes probably in chapter 12, "In the latter days, many shall pay attention," or chapter 11, "and those of understanding," it says, "shall heed, but the others will act ungodly and will not attain to the right understanding." We must become silent before the face of God so that his promise can be revealed, yes, opened to us. Earthly, Ishmael could have referred to Abraham in the same way as Isaac. He could have said, "Listen, you have no advantage. We have the same father. We are both brothers, half-brothers, no more than half-brothers. One had the promise." And we have also gone through the word here recently. Paul writes in Galatians 4, verse 30, "Nevertheless, what saith the scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman." What was the difference? One was being born to bondage, and the other was being born to inheritance. And that is the big difference. All denominations enslave people and dominate them, but he who is born of God comes into the liberty of the children of God. He is no longer enslaved but blessed by God and appointed as an heir. That is the great difference that we can see there. Paul says, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Why? Because we have believed His word. Brothers and sisters, when it becomes as sweet to you as it is to me, this fact that we can now see in the confusion of this time, when everything is going upside down, when people say Christ is here and Christ is there, and everywhere something is happening, that we can see in clarity and truth the promises of God for this time, and that we can believe them. All this is only grace and mercy. Where would we be today if God had not made us still before His face? It has been proven that we were not only Christians in name, but that we have been born again to a living hope. People who take God's word seriously, who do not try to find a way here or there to get through without offense. No, the Lord Jesus also had to walk the straight path. He was spared nothing. He did not put the light under a bushel, but upon the lampstand. This is what all the prophets and all the apostles did. If you think of the prophet Micah, I think it was him, when he was still calling out to Ahab, if you come back, God has not spoken through me at all. What was it? People filled with the Spirit of God. He didn't want to be a friend of Ahab. He wanted to be a friend of God. And he spoke the truth, even if it had cost him his life. What if Ahab had come back? Then that would have been the end of the prophet. But the prophet knew, not he, but God speaks through him. And therefore he was without fear and could speak what God had to say. I think here of the testimony of Billy Paul, the son of Brother Branham, in the memorial service when Brother Branham was buried. He said, my father could have been alive today if he had not chosen the way God ordained to preach the word of God revealed for this time. Our way, of course, would have been comfortable in all the world. But how would it be before God? Oh, it is worthwhile. What did Paul say? I count all things as dung that I may gain Christ. And that is our conviction. Whatever may happen, the Spirit of God will lead us. He will help. He will give grace. That not one who has believed and trusted in the Lord will be left behind. I say again, many claimed to have seen, heard, and experienced the Lord Jesus Christ. But who went all the way? The crowd became smaller and smaller. First there were thousands, here 5,000, and then even more, and the number became smaller and smaller. And then after the resurrection, there were 500. But at Pentecost, there were only 120. What happened? The number became smaller and smaller, the path narrower and narrower, more and more scorn and ridicule came upon those who believed this Messiah. But it had been worth it to go all the way with Jesus. And I tell you the truth, it will also be worthwhile in this time to walk the whole way with Jesus through repentance, through faith, through the true biblical baptism, towards the Spirit baptism, towards the full revelation of the will and the Word of God. We are going all the way. Who is coming with us? Who is ready to go all the way with Jesus? If we still think of the time when great meetings were held in our country and everywhere, whether other evangelists or Brother Branham, thousands and thousands were present everywhere, but the numbers have become smaller, but purer, more genuine. All that does not belong has been segregated, and the Lord gathers His own to reveal Himself to them in a wonderful way. To what do we belong in this time? Have we only seen the miracles? Have we only experienced what the Lord has done? Or are we ready to walk with Him until we too suddenly see an open heaven, until the sound of the trumpet reaches us and we are changed and the Lord Jesus can take us up into His glory? I am convinced that we are ready to go all the way with Jesus, whatever the cost, whether people are our enemies or not, as long as the Lord remains our friend, as long as He reveals Himself to us, as long as we walk in His ways, and we can see that very quickly. His ways are recorded in His Word. It is like a map, like a signpost that we can follow. And all those who are willing to walk all this way with the Lord, they will find at the end of this way, and God revealed this to us here not long ago, that the dragon indeed opens his mouth to devour the saints of the Lord. And we read it in Revelation 12. The dragon stood before the woman to devour the man-child as soon as he would be born. But the man-child was not devoured by the dragon, but was caught up to God and to His throne. And this is the hope we carry in our hearts. The Lord Himself ensures that the enemy does not devour. He may go about like a roaring lion, but he cannot devour the elect of God. We are secure in Christ for time and for eternity. For it is written, by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, and that is the body of Jesus Christ. And the body of Jesus Christ cannot be touched by Satan. The body of Jesus Christ is knit together by God, and not one member of that body will be devoured by the enemy. The enemy may roar as he will, but he cannot devour what the Lord chose before the foundation of the world, what He purchased and paid for with His precious and holy blood. No, it is written, who can accuse the elect of God? And no one is able to snatch them out of the hand of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, may God make it great for us tonight. The difference between Christians in this time is not what they have experienced. Many have experienced many things, and no one questions that. You can go around the country today from church to church, and testimonies are being told non-stop, whether you believe this or not, but that's the way it is. Testimonies are being told everywhere of what people have experienced with the Lord. And we don't question that. Thanks be to God for all that He does, no matter where or when He does it. Our question is, what about the word of promise? Abraham had two sons, one according to the flesh, according to his will, and the other according to the will of God, because of the promise. And where the promise was the blessing. And where the blessing was the full inheritance. Nothing was divided. The full inheritance went to the one who had the promise. And the same has been with the Church of the Living God in all ages. The full blessing will come in this generation upon the children of God who have believed the promise of God. These words will be true before the face of the living God, even in eternity. Therefore, we are serious about the promises of God or the promises of the Word of God for this time. For us, it is not an object of contention, but something that we cherish, that we respect, that we rejoice in with all our heart, that we have been counted worthy to hear the voice of the Lord at this time, to receive His promises and believe them. And the Lord looks down on us and says, "You are my friends. You have the insight in the doings of your Lord. A servant does not know what his master is doing, but ye are my friends." Brothers and sisters, Abraham was a friend of God. He believed the promise of God in his time. We too want to be friends of God in this time, to believe His word and promise with all our heart and soul. Even if the way is narrow, it leads to heaven. And at the end of this way are the pearly gates into which we shall enter. What no eye has seen, nor ear has heard, nor any heart has known, God has prepared for those who love Him. And those who love Him keep His word and believe His promises. May God make it clear to us by this example. The promises He has made to His people matter. And it is our wish and prayer that all God's children in all places, in all countries, will be made acquainted with what God has promised for this time and what He has done by His grace. Are you not glad that you may belong to the multitude that may also walk this path with the Lord, that we have not stopped here or there and talked about what God has done and thus remained in the past? No, God has given us the grace to go forward until we come from believing unto seeing. A path is not for standing. A path is for walking. And God walks this path with His people from beginning to end. Blessed are all those who have not left Him, who have not taken offense, who have gone on from clarity to clarity and from knowledge to knowledge. At the turn of the century, many believed the promise of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Who today believes the promise of God for this time? All those chosen by God before the foundation of the world, they believe what the Lord has spoken and done. May God bless us. Be our prayer. Amen. We stand up to pray. Brothers and sisters, we have the example again and again in the Holy Scriptures that many have stopped halfway. What good has all the talk done to them about what the Lord has done on them or among them, if they were not willing to go on until the final promises of God are fulfilled in them. Oh, how thankful we can be that the Lord God has made us worthy in this time to believe the promise of the prophet Malachi, the promise of Revelation 10, of Luke 17, of Acts 3:21. Many promises God has made to His people for this time. He is looking down now. He says to us, "Ye are my friends. Ye have believed me. Ye have received my promises. I have opened the heavens above you to bless you from the riches of my grace." God is mightily present. His rushing and blowing will come upon us because we have believed Him and His word with all our heart and soul. Who is willing to walk with Jesus to that final step of faith until we are taken out of time into eternity? Let there be none lame among us, as among the people of Israel, no one limping between two sides. May the Lord lead His people. Neither let anyone say, "I go back to Egypt." No, we are on the way to Canaan. We are on the way to receive the last promises of God. And we know the people of Israel had the promise of the promised land. Is it true or not? It was the land of promise and a people who believed the promise of God, led out on the one hand because of the promise, led into the land of Canaan on the other hand because of the promise. So it is with the church of the living God, redeemed because of the promise. And because of the promise, we are on our way into the promised land. We have been promised to celebrate the marriage supper of the Lamb with the Lord. We have been promised to be raptured. He has promised us, "I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." He said, "I go to prepare a place for you, and then I will come again." Hallelujah. And He will come again as He has gone to heaven. The sign we have seen and experienced, He will come again. Hallelujah. When we see the sign, the thing itself is not far off. And so we know with all certainty, Jesus is coming soon. Hallelujah. And we may believe Him until the last day and the last hour, until the last moment. Yes, with our last breath, we believe the last promise of our Lord. And then we shall be changed, and mortality shall put on immortality, and the corruptible, the incorruptible. And in a moment, we will be transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. He came according to the promise as the seed of the woman. He crushed the head of the serpent. Everything is grounded on the promises of God and on the faith of those who are pardoned by God. Let us sing, "Just as I am."
Denn rein, o Gott des
Let us pray together and give thanks to the Lord. Heavenly Father, with all our heart and with all our soul, we thank you, for you have born us again through your Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, through the blood of the Lamb. Oh, we praise you in this hour. We worship you. We are on our way to the promised land because we believe the promises of God. Oh God, like a chain reaction, we see your plan of salvation realized throughout the ages. Hallelujah. And now you walk with your people the final steps of faith until we will see you. Beloved Master, bless all who have come. Bless all who have lifted up their hands. O God, they have lifted them to you. You have seen it. Forgive. Pull them out of the fire. O God, open our eyes to what you are doing now. Hallelujah. To your wonderful and holy name. Make us your friends. Hallelujah. Glory to your name. Paul, your servant, said, if I still want to be the friend of men, I am not a servant of Jesus Christ. The friendship of this world is enmity with God, and the friendship with God is enmity with this world. Faithful God, on your side we want to stand. Help us. Bless us all and be with us all. Amen.